This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg in our Fargo studio, and we have Main Street Eats Sue Balcom in our Bismarck studio. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Ashley.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, happy Halloween to you, too. What a wonderful day.
Boo.
Yeah, boo-hoo. It's not like it used to be, you know?
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, perhaps you're too young. Oh,
I
yeah,
remember vividly the great
remember?
Big grocery paper bag going from door to door, coming back, trading candy.
Right. Your parents would just cut you loose.
Yeah,
I mean, there was no chaperoning that evening.
There was no metal
sure.
detector to check the bag with or anything like that.
All the homemade popcorn balls and candy you could eat. It was like amazing. But, you know, it used to be that Halloween was an unholiday. There wasn't any pre-planning. There wasn't anything in the stores. It was like you got up and said, oh, wow, today's Halloween. I wonder what I should be tonight when I go out trick-or-treating.
Yeah. A ghost or a witch.
And right. You're a bum because your mom had
many times.
Right, because your mom had makeup, right? So you could always make your face look like it was a bad beard day, you know, and go out trick-or-treating.
Well, we had plenty of torn jeans, too. So.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's right. My whole wardrobe looked like I was probably a bum back
in the day. My mother was an expert at ironing those patches on.
Right.
That was a wonderful invention back when I was a kid.
And I used to just love that Halloween was only a one-day festival, and they've just kind of blown it out of proportion.
Now you can make money off of it.
It's horrible. And, you know, the only masks you could buy were these kind of plastic molded ones with the elastic band and the little eye holes cut out. And I don't think I ever owned one of those, at least not when I was in grade school, which is kind of what I'm going back that far. You know, the streets were gravel. You know, there weren't any paved streets. We just could go anywhere we wanted. And it was like a real fun celebration to be like out after dark
it was
on a school
hordes
night.
Of kids just going up and down the streets. And of course, it was always trick or treat. And there would inevitably be that person who would say, well, do a trick.
Oh, yeah. Did you have any tricks that you did?
Well, they got one later.
Oh, okay. After midnight.
Yes.
When everybody's had their shades pulled, right?
Yeah. But we had one person who gave out apples and raisins. And as much as I appreciate that now, eighth grade me or
right
sixth
on.
Grade me was super unimpressed with apples
this?
And raisins.
Yeah, we would head for the people who were famous for giving the full candy bars.
Right
on.
Yep.
And I had a neighbor in Mandan that actually gave out a can of pop and a full-size candy bar. So our neighborhood was like, inundated with kids. We live so far out in the country now, we don't actually get trick-or-treaters. But one of the things I remember is that the weather seemed like it was always balmy that night, or at least temperate, so you didn't have to wear, like, boots and coats and hats.
Oh.
And the sky was darker. It was just plain old darker back then.
Well, we didn't have all the streetlights we have
right
now.
On. It was just like a super cool holiday.
See, I remember always having to be something warm. When I was growing up, it was cold by Halloween all the time.
Well, you're up
time.
North, too. You're Walhalla. Well, I mean, way up there.
That much farther.
Way
north
up there, near the border.
Is it on the other side of Highway 2? Because that's really Canada. Yeah,
it is.
Totally
it is Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, basically.
Well, when my kids were young, I seriously would get up and make costumes on the day of Halloween. But one year I didn't do that for my son. And so we're like in a bad place. It's like 4 o'clock and we're like, what are we going to do? And so I emptied a 25-pound bag of cat food from the other end and cut armholes and a head hole in. And he went out as a bag of cat food.
Well, duh. That's a great idea.
I know, right? Except some guy looked at me and he's like, really, Mom?
Well, I remember people wearing boxes, for heaven's sake.
Yes. And, you know, because you just did with what you had. And nowadays, it's just like super big celebration.
You don't get any homemade stuff anymore.
No, but I was just going to say that I still make popcorn balls.
Well,
you know,
that's great for your place.
For
or
my house. Yeah.
Where nobody goes to trick-or-treat
because right.
you live out of town. So it's you and JC eating
absolutely,
these.
Man. And all the popcorn balls we can eat while we're watching our one lone jack-o'-lantern on the steps blinking away at nobody but the cat. Sounds like a dark and scary night. So I have to share this story. I just have to. I've never, ever said this out loud. But when I was 12, we moved from Fredonia to the big city of Gackle. So I went from a one-room schoolhouse that had four or five grades in it to a class of 28 other 12-year-olds.
How'd you keep track of them all?
It was amazing. But by the time I graduated, I think I got them all straight. But in the meantime, you know, girls, little girls in middle school, even back then, were not very nice. And being a stranger and coming from Fredonia, you know, it was this first Halloween, and these two young ladies, whose names I will not mention, and they probably didn't think, they probably never ever thought about this night ever again, invited me to go trick-or-treating with them. And we were going to meet on the corner across the street from the school. So I show up at the appropriate time, and they're there, and they're like, yeah, well, we changed your mind. You can't come with us. And they split. So I'm standing there by myself thinking, okay, so I'm all alone. It's Halloween. I could do one of two things. I could turn tail and run, but I could go trick-or-treating by myself. And that is when I had the realization that, you know, in order to make a go in the world, you got to do it yourself. So I go to all these houses, and people come to the door, and they're looking to the left, and they're looking to the right. And they're like, you're this by yourself?
Lonely little girl.
So I get like twice the candy, man. I mean, it was bonus bucks for me because they felt sorry for me. I learned a valuable lesson that day about I can do it on my own.
So now you drive into Bismarck or Mandan on Halloween and you just go all by yourself, door to door.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, no. Sorry. No trick-or-treating for me. I think my wrinkles on my face are real this time instead of drawn in with an eyebrow pencil.
Well, I'm looking at the note that you shared with us, Sue, and you say, yes, I believe I saw a spirit once.
Oh, do you want? Okay, let's talk about what Halloween really is first. It is based on a custom back in the Samhain days. It's an ancient pagan Celtic festival where the line between life and death is very thin. Mm. And it is the eve before All Saints Day, which is November 1st, which is recognized in, I think, in churches still as being kind of like a day for all of us because we're all saints, right, in the end? Something like that. Anyway, All Saints Day, November 1st. So on Halloween, that's All Saints Eve and eventually became Hallows Eve or Halloween. So we moved into this house in Mandan, and we were the second owners, like my family. And it was it's just still my favorite house in the whole community. And we went to bed, we moved, you know, and you're real tired. And we went to bed that night, and something woke me up at about midnight. And this was not actually on Halloween, but it was probably in the fall. So I sat straight up in the bed, and there was a figure in the doorway. And I will swear that I saw a shadow of a figure in the doorway. Mm. And it was kind of like the person who had owned that house and passed away in that house was passing it off to me on that very day. And I'm like, I'll take good care of this house because it's a lovely original house. And so that's my only one experience with that thin veil between life and death.
Okay.
It wasn't scary. It you know, not all spirits are scary spirits.
Sometimes they're just lost.
That's right. Like I feel sometimes even today.
Right. At the mall.
Well, you mentioned that quintessential Halloween treat, which is the popcorn ball. My mother used to make those. She used molasses in hers. What was your mother's recipe?
My mom's was dark syrup and brown sugar, very simple. You know, boil it to that caramely stage and butter, of course, mm-hmm. butter. And then you have to have salted popcorn because the salt is in complement to the caramel. And then for some reason you have like a little bit of vinegar and soda in the mix. And I'm not sure what that does, but it makes your syrup kind of foam up. And then you pour it over your popcorn. And then, of course, the real trick is trying to make those popcorn balls while it's still hot. And, you know, hot caramel on your hands is never very much fun.
But so. It was always fun to clean up the popcorn-making bowl because there was some popcorn left that was especially
thick.
Drenched in that thick syrup.
Now, my grandmother used to make them for Christmas. We ate a lot of popcorn balls growing up, and she used to use Jell-O. So at Christmas time, she'd make them, and they'd be red and green because of the Jell-O that she put in her recipe. But I've never tried that, so I love caramel popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh. And I think
dentists love
it,
too.
Oh, I'll bet they do. I have a special recipe that I took from a Crispix snack mix that's almost all butter. And, oh, my gosh, like it's just heavenly to eat that. But we only make that on very special occasions because, like most things in our house, they disappear overnight if I'm not looking. Maybe that's a Halloween spirit right there. How does that candy disappear so fast?
We check in with Main Street Eats Sue Balcom every week here.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Happy Halloween.